Hello, welcome to Sproulcast, the English language Sproul Cover No podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I really should have thought of an introduction to today's podcast.
I was going to say, you don't have a witty intro, but then, I mean, that's never true. You don't have an intro.
That's not very nice.
Well, I'm sorry.
You know what? I've been swamped.
Swamped.
Do you know what it's like to be moderately busy?
Yeah, moderately, yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, just stuff just comes up all the time. And of course, I had to take a day off to go and watch Brojovka play in Jihlava. More on that later.
Yeah, I mean, it was a worthwhile day off. But, yeah.
You know, just paying for it now.
Yeah. Well, what we haven't paid for is a selection of interesting beers that appeared in my fridge after the Jihlava game, thanks to Fraser. So we're going to have two Beer of the Podcasts today. And that still leaves us with one more for next time.
What a saving.
Indeed. So after this break, we're going to go straight on to that.
Podcast part one. So yes, it's Beer of the Podcast part one, because we're having two beers. What a treat.
Two beers, yeah.
Thanks very much, Fraser, for treating us yet again to a fine selection of beer. And I don't know what he's got in store for us this time.
Well, I thought I'd start with what looked like the lighter one. We've got Okocim Mocna Pomarańcza, which is obviously an orange.
I'm assuming
beer.
That's just much orange.
Hodnia orange. It's from a Polish brewery. I can't see where they're from, but they are. Oh no, they're from
Poland.
Poland, but yeah, they have now fallen under the umbrella of Carlsberg.
Uh-huh.
So it's a Carlsberg subsidiary, Okocim, O-K-O-C-I-M. It's not particularly strong, this one, 4.5%, and it certainly is orange.
It's got a sort of translucent thing going on. It's like, it looks a little bit like a Barocca, when you've put a Barocca into a tumbler of water. It goes tss, and then it has a sort of orange sort of glow.
That's right, yeah. Or it actually looks slightly like a sort of IPA. It's that sort of like straw colour, isn't it?
That's a good point.
But it does smell of orange.
It smells exactly of what... It doesn't smell of anything else. It's like Fanta.
Yeah.
Or maybe a Sunkist.
there's that train nose in action. Here we go.
Used to be a sniffer dog in the airport in a previous life.
Well, that's dangerous because it tastes exactly like Fanta.
That is just orange, isn't it?
It is.
It's fizzy orange.
It's fizzy orange.
Oh, yeah, I could absolutely just chin that.
Yeah, you could just neck that quite easily. You could down that in one, couldn't you?
Oh, that's... I'll tell you what, I'm actually, for once, quite glad that a beer is quite unavailable for me here, because that's slippery slope stuff, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah, it's one of those that tastes so unlike beer that slippery slope would begin with you just getting up and like having a can of it as a fruity fizzy pick me up,
like when you're hungover and you just want to neck
a
bottle or something.
Precisely. That's exactly why this exists, which is incredibly dangerous.
It's not going to go very well with my planned drink of the evening.
Yes, tell the listeners what you've got as your drink for the rest of the evening, up until Beer of the Podcast part two, of course.
Well, as a very quick side note, and we'll be talking about the football, of course, it's a football podcast, but me, David and Liam took in a bonus game on Saturday. We went to watch Leishen play against Vlašim.
Very entertaining.
Very good, very high quality game.
2-2 draw in the end.
And yes, and arguably a lucky point for the home side, but there's a fantastic beer shop / pub, a stone's throw from the ground.
Yeah. F.A. Oranjova, weirdly, it's called. Yeah.
All coming up orange. Mm. So I decided to buy a couple of things. So today I am drinking something called Royal Cookie S'mores by Funky Fluid, which is a stout with cocoa, marshmallow, graham crackers, digestive biscuits, and vanilla. And it is 11.4%, so it's basically a can of wine.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be slowly sipping on this throughout the evening, interspersed with, apparently, orangeade.
Yes. Anyway, we are ostensibly a football podcast, so let's talk about some of that now. One nil to the boys in red, which is becoming somewhat of a theme, which we'll touch on later.
It's the consistency, isn't it?
Yes, the consistency of what was basically an absolute trudge of a game.
Mm.
The goal itself that meant we won 1-0 was the one moment of quality.
Yes, I remember
from
you
us
actually
in the game. Yeah, I mean, it was Endel having no idea why he was in the area at that point, backheeling the ball to Roman Potocny, who lashed a shot in from the edge of the area. So that was nice. But we were, as we have been a couple of times this season, grateful to the efforts of Martin Berkowitz for keeping us in it. Their forward, Fürbacher, had a sort of personal crusade to score against us, and Berkey was always there, as he has been a lot this season.
I mean, that's just him. That is just Fürbacher. I mean, Fürbacher, who is just, he is there to score goals, and he scores goals pretty much every game. I'm just very quickly looking through some results here. I mean, after this, Varnsdorf drew 3-3 with Chrudim, and Fürbacher got a brace.
Yeah.
Like, he is a proven scorer at this level. He got a bundle last time. He's already got a bundle this time. I think mm-hmm. he's got 7 or 8 already.
It'll be 7 because Huf is currently the top scorer with 8.
Yeah.
And it's Reznia, Fürbacher, and one other person
crazy.
On 7.
Crazy. Can I say, it's crazy that, you know, amongst those leading the top goal score charts are from really mediocre teams.
Yeah.
It's not somebody from Jihlava. It's not somebody from Dukla. Okay, we're up in the mix, but it's these sorts of teams that we thought would be troubled, like Chrudim, who have someone getting the goals. It's a little bit like Chesna last season, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
Terrible team, but just kept scoring.
Yeah. Talking of fellow forwards, it was Jan Hladík's final appearance in a Brno
yes.
shirt before he sodded off to Ružomberok in Slovakia, and all the best to a hard, you know, not necessarily the most talented, but a genuinely hard-working player.
I mean, nothing but good times, basically, with Jan Hladík. I mean, it's Jan Hladík's goals and performances that got Zbrojovka to where they were and to get promoted. Funnily enough, actually, it's kind of a nice sort of bookmark on it because it takes you back to Jan Hladík's fantastic solo goal away to Varnsdorf, if you remember this from, I want to say, 3 seasons ago, which kept us basically in the title race, where he runs half the length of the pitch.
Varnsdorf
and
Sokolov?
It was Varnsdorf away, I believe.
Because he also did it against Sokolov.
Yeah, it was 1-0 in the 88th minute or
That's
something
right,
like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was his goals and you know, that kept us in amongst it. He looked like he genuinely cared when we came up.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of full of beans, so we do wish him all the best.
Indeed we do. I mean, I don't have a lot more else to say on this game, to be honest. There was not a massive amount happening.
What I will say, again, is that, like, you know, Varnsdorf are still looking for a win, basically. It's not been particularly fun for them, but they still look like, you know, quite a good side. They got knocked out of the cup straight after that defeat by Kladno, which is not a good result at all. They got a 3-3 with Chrudim, but, you know, really, you know, they led twice. So I'm pretty sure they will come good. They're going to need to start getting to get good soon. I thought in this match particularly, I like the midfielding pairing of Christian Michal and Denis Samco for them.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were pretty good, energetic, trying to work the ball into nice bits of space. So I'm just wondering if it's one of these things where they will just eventually click and start getting a few results.
Yeah, talking of eventually clicking, what's that, Sam? You think that Denis Konechny has improved over the last five or six games? Because I do.
I couldn't help but agree with you there.
Indeed, yeah.
He's a starter now, isn't he?
Yeah, he was very good in the previous game against Vyshkov there. Probably the man of the match, I would say. really, really lively. And yeah, has really, from early season competition from Matyoff, has basically managed to cement that left back place.
I think we finally found a proper role for him,
mm-hmm.
which is the thing, because we kept doing that thing where we were playing him with a left back in a defence that desperately needed defenders. And then, what we were doing was we then just sort of kept him. We'd throw him on after an hour if we really needed a goal, and he'd go and play a sort of an advanced winger.
Yeah.
So we weren't really sure how to properly deploy him. But he looks quite settled now, mm-hmm. and he's part of I think we talked about this last time, a settled back four.
Yes,
that will be the
exactly,
back four
yeah.
that...
Called it.
Yeah, you did call it. And actually, and I'm actually going to say this while spoiling one of my previews later on, but it's a good time to mention it, that actually we have got one of the best back fours in the league
mm-hmm.
by goals conceded.
Yes.
So we've only conceded 8.
Yeah,
which is not bad.
Yeah, it's very good. Because of that, would you like to play a little game that I've devised?
I'm just settling.
All right.
Okay, deep breath. What's the game called, David?
Well, it's time to play Come and Fetch Me with Denis Konechny.
I'm somewhere where I don't know where I am.
Now, the Ostrovan fullback is, as we know, a lover of hiking and rambling through the Czech countryside. But occasionally his sense of direction lets him down. Can he work out where Denis is so the team bus can go and fetch him?
Oh dear.
Right, I'm going to describe...
Can I just say that there's big Sega Mega Drive homebrew written all over this.
So I'm going to describe sort of views and vistas as he's walking through 5 Czech towns. These are Czech towns that we have been to.
Okay.
They're not necessarily... We haven't necessarily been to them for the football, but we have been to all of them at some point.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
The first one will give you a very good idea. So... Number 1. Denis is walking through the Podyi National Park when he finds himself in a town. From the church on top of the hill, he can look down into a steep river valley. The countryside is covered in vineyards, and after walking into town, he can see tourists emerging from catacombs underneath the town centre. To pass the time, he visits the Rotunda of St. Catherine and has a glass of wine on the gently sloping main square. Where does Denis need fetching from?
Is Denis Konechny in Znojmo, David?
Denis Konechny is in Znojmo.
Okay,
he was
good.
Having a lovely time.
Right.
So that's how it works.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I just say for everyone listening at home, I am absolutely thrilled to have one on the board here because I think this is going to be a real strain.
Well, we'll see.
There's a rotunda.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure I've been in that rotunda probably with you.
No.
Okay. That gives me a bit of hope.
Anyway.
Okay.
Number 2. Denis is hiking along the banks of the Elbe River when he happens upon a town. The first things he sees are a railway yard on the bend of the river and a huge rock face. On the opposite side of the river he spots Trechov Castle. After some investigation he discovers that Johann von Goethe, Karl Hinetmacher and Richard Wagner have all stayed there. Pleased with this information he heads to the brewery Na Richtia for a pint. Where does Denis need fetching from?
Denis Konechny is in Ústí nad Labem.
He is. Okay. He is indeed. See? It's not that tricky.
That's a cracking brewery.
It is.
Good brewery.
Yeah, it's a very good brewery. Number 3. Denis finds himself in a beautiful town on a bend in the Vltava River. Walking downhill and over a bridge, he joins the hordes of tourists in waving to the people rafting down the river and over the weir.
Oh, no.
As a fan of Renaissance architecture, he's particularly taken with the castle and gardens on the clifftop. Where does Denis need fetching from?
I might be wrong on this, but I would say that Denis is in... I've got, there's two in my mind. Mm-hmm. There's two in my mind. Hordes of Tourists. I'll tell you, right, I'm in between Carlo Vivari and Chesky Krumlov.
Okay.
Did you say we have been together?
We have both been.
We have both been, yes. So not there. Okay, that's then, okay. He's in Chesky Krumlov?
He is.
Okay, good.
Right, number four. Dennis is walking from a fairly unattractive new town into an older part of wherever he is.
Right.
The town doesn't really look like anywhere he's been before, but there's a building he recognises from the James Bond film Casino Royale. Apt, really, because everywhere he goes he hears a lot of Russian being spoken. Where does Dennis need fetching from?
Now Dennis Konechny is in Carlo Vivari.
He is, yes. You see, you have to choose quite distinctive looking towns, because there are a lot of quite similar towns in this country, so you have to go for the kind of distinctive ones.
Yeah, I note that he hasn't been, you know, to Khrudim yet.
No, because I remember nothing about that town.
Dennis finds himself in a town with one football stadium, one pub with a slatted roof and nothing else. Where is Dennis? Dennis is in Vlashim.
Yeah.
Right. Nonsense stuff. All right.
Okay, finally, Dennis arrives at a railway station. He decides he needs to find the town centre, so he walks for about 15 minutes along what seems to be the main road into town. Once there, he chances upon the main square. And from there, he follows a narrow, cobbled street to the castle, which, unlike in a lot of other towns, isn't on a hilltop, but just in a city park. He walks around St. Bartholomew's Church, walks through the Green Gate, and has a pint of beer from the brewery, which is simply named after the town. Where does Dennis need fetching from?
Dennis is in Pardubice.
He is.
Nice.
I thought you might think that was Olomouc until we got to the town centre, because they're similar ideas.
It was windy. It was windy... Cobbled. That was the thing.
Yeah, windy cobbles. Yeah,
I enjoyed
that.
There you
go. 5 out of 5, though.
It's just bragging about nice places that we've gone to have pints. Really, it's
pretty good. Yeah, basically. Yeah. Anyway, that was the end of that. I enjoyed that. That was quite. It was fun to write as well.
Oh,
I'm glad I did that.
It's because it's all about the, you know, it's the giving, isn't it, rather than the receiving.
Exactly. Yeah. You reach a certain age, and it's ooh, Mrs. Arf, arf, etc. Right. It's time for Hot or Not. It's hot or not time. Hooray for that. One each?
Yes, I am in spirit of my current state of mind. I've had two knots.
Oh, right, okay. All right, start us off with a knot then.
Barry Robson's Aberdeen, David.
Barry Robson's Aberdeen.
In what I believe is now a sixth appearance on Hot or Not is Not. Boy, are Aberdeen bad. Boy, like, the big worry, right, is that we, you know, we haven't won a game this season. Well, we have won a game if you consider winning in the League Cup against Stirling Albion to be a real victory. But
do you consider that a real victory?
I sort of do, but I don't think it's the point as well, because, you know, they play in the third tier of Scottish football and they lost at the weekend to Annan Athletic. So it's not exactly the greatest thing, you know, ever here. And I am incredibly worried that, I mean, because we look so terrible, so disjointed, we don't have a proper central midfielder, we're getting pumped by dross teams like Hearts. Where are we going on Thursday?
Frankfurt.
We're going to play Eintracht Frankfurt. I am very worried that some sort of record is going to be set.
It is as I think Liam quite rightly pointed out, the JLB credit derby, Aberdeen versus Frankfurt, which is pleasing. Yeah. You were considering going to that and you're not.
I was, yes. It's just too much of a pain to get to at reasonably short notice. There were some tickets left. I'd fair play £14 to watch Aberdeen in Europe.
Incredibly good, isn't it?
Very good, yeah. Indeed. And it was a healthy allocation. I think we've got 2,900 or 2,600, one of the two. So there will be plenty of people there because it's Aberdonians having a holiday in Germany.
Yeah.
But it's nobody's going there expecting to get anything less than like a 4-0 defeat. It's
right,
going
yes.
to be particularly bad. And it's kind of bad when I would be slightly okay with 4-0 at this point.
Right, yeah.
Because I think we could get just absolutely torn to shreds.
Mm-hmm.
So something has to really change around fast for this team or else we're absolutely fucked.
Okay, fair enough. I'll give you a not Because my hot is quite a nice one to end on.
I think. That's good.
My not is Jack Bernhardt.
Who is Jack Bernhardt?
Jack Bernhardt is one of the co-presenters, I'm going to say, on a much more successful podcast than this one, called The Football Book Club.
Okay.
In which there's four of them, and they read and review footballers' autobiographies.
Mm-hmm.
It is a generally, genuinely entertaining kind of hour of wittering amongst four clearly very good mates,
yeah,
while they read ridiculously crap football books. However, they have a thing where they begin each episode with describing the show and saying it's less famous author, more famous player. And they always, they rhyme.
Sure.
And I sent a couple of suggestions in, which I had completely forgotten about.
Yeah.
But they used one of them as the introduction. And I was very happy about that. However, Jack Bernhardt is my not because he called me Dave rather than David on a much more successful podcast than this one.
That is, yes. I mean, having known you for some years, I know that you're not a fan of the Dave.
I don't really like Dave. Anyway.
It's just repeats, isn't it?
Rhyme was, it's less Muriel Spark, more Jisung Park.
Yeah, okay.
Which, yeah, anyway, they basically, the guys didn't know who Muriel Spark was.
Okay.
So I will play you the little clip and that will be the end of it.
Well, Jack, I'm disappointed in you for not knowing Muriel Spark. Tash disappointed in you. And worst of all, David Schmidt is disappointed in you because he sent that in and he's crying at home.
Thanks, Jack. Dave's crying.
So there we go.
To be fair to him, he started with David.
He did.
And
well,
then just regressed somewhat.
Yeah. I mean, they were also two different people. The guy who actually fronts it called me David, which I'm happy with.
See.
And then, anyway.
All English people sound the same to me. But, you know, congratulations on the white guys in their podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Can also disclaimer this by saying I was not crying at home because I completely forgotten I sent it in. It was months ago. So there we go. Anyway, that was that.
A nice surprise for when you were listening into your...
Yes. Completely unexpected because, A, I heard the Muriel Park, Jisung Park thing. I thought, that's all right. Completely forgotten I'd even written it. And then that came up later. So I was like, oh, it's me. How exciting.
It's quite a safe one as well because there's like zero chance that they're going to ever hear this podcast as well, really.
Yeah.
So it's a shame though because I would like to, in proper football cliches fashion, because I don't listen to this, I would issue a come and get me plea to the to the presenters to give me a good reason why I should listen to their book podcast.
Well, get us on. If they ever do Milan Baroš or somebody.
It's boom. More...
No.
Yeah,
let's
not
anyway,
go there.
Anyway, that's that. You had another knot, I believe.
We're going to go crashing back down to earth with the National League in English football. This one was a week or a bit ago.
Is this the rained-off game?
Absolutely it is, mm-hmm. Yes. Buxton against Scunthorpe. I believe Scunthorpe against Buxton, actually. It was the other way around,
right,
wasn't it? I mean, with the driving rain, Buxton winning 2-1. Buxton are... with the greatest of respect to them, quite a small team in the grand scheme of things, certainly against a team like Scunthorpe, who have fallen on hard times, but you would back to probably make a decent fist of it this season. Calling off a game and abandoning it with 6 minutes to go and then having it fully replayed is...
Yeah, it's madness, isn't it?
Tin pot.
Yeah, it's really, really bad.
It also just really annoys me that I bet it wasn't 6 or 9 minutes or whatever it was of time added on. It's this nonsense stuff that we just now have hours added on to everything at the end of games. It's ruining stuff. So you actually have to make plans as well. You know, it's like every game going to extra time.
I don't really mind it that much. You know, if there's more football to be played because people have been time wasting, I don't mind.
Do
it, really.
I want to watch Aberdeen for an extra 15 minutes?
Well, no. Okay. Fair enough. Right, I'll finish with a hot. And my hot this week is regional multiculturalism.
Okay.
September 1st, Znojmo played Start Brno, and Znojmo did not have a single Czech in their first 11.
Really?
Isn't that remarkable?
That is Bizarre.
It contained two Slovaks, two Serbs, three Portuguese, a Swede, a Brazilian, an Italian, and a Venezuelan. Incredible.
We've talked about the Venezuelan before offline, haven't we? About and how mad that is, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he came from something like the Venezuelan Premier League?
I can't remember, but yeah, it's a... Yeah. Another one of those wild stories like your boys from the Azores League.
Yeah.
Rocking up.
It's mad.
Ditto, Vyshkov playing Hrudim with only two Czechs, filling the team out with a Slovak, two Frenchmen, two Ugandans, a Zambian, and one each from Togo, Burundi, and Equatorial Guinea.
Both of us ruining my preview, absolutely. But
Well, I'm sorry, there we go.
Part of 13 players on their book that's just from African continent.
Mm.
Not, and then there's about another 7 or 8 that I think are French. There's a big, big thing there.
Yeah, there is something going on in Middle South Moravia. Slightly, might be Olomoucki cry.
No, Vyshkov, no, it's definitely South Moravia.
Is it? Okay. Oh, well, that's that cleared up then. Anyway, let's talk about our lovely, lovely away trip last Friday to Mihlava. Yee-hawa!
We were there.
We certainly were. It was you, me, and Fraser. We had a lovely day out, didn't we?
It was great to be in Yihlava and not absolutely freezing.
It certainly was. Yeah, we got the bus at sort of, what was it, 1 o'clock?
Yeah.
So we were there at 2:15.
Went straight to the pub.
Yeah, had some lunch. Didn't see Agatha the iguana, who I fear may have passed on.
I'm worried.
Or she was, you know, away for repairs or something.
Yeah, I don't know why Agatha the iguana's tank... Actually, for context sake, there's a restaurant in Yihlava, well, bar/restaurant, that has a tank that has an iguana, and the iguana's called Agatha. We met the iguana last time. I don't know why the lights of the tank would be on if the iguana was dead.
Yeah, lights were on but nobody home in that case.
Very much like this podcast limping into its 5th year or whatever we're doing.
Series 6 this
Bloody
is.
Bloody hell.
I know, it's terrifying.
Sleepwalking into mediocrity. But yeah, there was no iguana.
we were iguanaless. So we had some lunch and then we went to the Pilsner Unique bar down the hill, didn't we?
And it's good. There are quite a lot of original restaurants that this that this organization has.
Yeah.
Have you guys always like unoriginal restaurants?
Yeah.
Weatherspoons.
I think slightly nicer beer than Spoons. Although, you know.
It's got moments, though, Spoons. If you can look past the fact that the guy is an absolute wanker.
Oh, yeah.
Quite cheap for a decent selection of stuff. At least that's what I remember. I haven't been to Spoons for years.
Yeah. They generally tend to do like local breweries as well, don't they? Anyway, enough Spoons chat. We had a couple in the garden there, and then we walked down the hill to the stadium, where about probably 100, maybe,
I'd say so,
were there.
Annoying kickoff time, because it's 5 o'clock on a Friday, so really if you want to be there, you have to take at least a half day off your work.
Yeah.
So that impacted numbers. But we've seen this before with certain early kickoffs and these sorts of times. 5 o'clock against Sparta B, for example, it is deliberately designed for us to not have that many people there.
Yeah, but yeah, like I said, a decent turnout, and because it's Yihlava, there's no Arsene. I mean, there's no real rivalry. They're fairly close together geographically, but there's no real rivalry there.
Never really any trouble.
No, and they had the best of it in the first half. Generally, didn't they? I would
Sprovka say. Were bang average. Like,
yeah.
I think bang average for an hour, frankly. I thought that they had the better chances. They were much more sprightly than I remember them being, Yihlava.
Yeah. We are also going to mention, because he's going to come up later, our complete mispronunciation of our new signing for the longest time. His name is not Denis Aligajic, it is...
Aligajic. Yeah. All this time I've been calling her Crandall.
Yeah, I've been making an idiot of myself.
Yeah, because we have obviously talked about Aligajic... checking myself there, before, because he has come in on a 2-year deal, I believe, but was very impressive when he played for Vlašim 2 seasons ago, I want to say.
And he scored his first Sprovka goal here immediately. Oof. he He came on in place of Adam Folsek, who had looked lively, to be fair, but he hasn't played a lot, so probably getting him through a full game is...
Folsek was probably our best player for wide parts of that game until there was the double substitution where Ali Agic came on.
Yeah, on 69, 70 minutes, he comes in. And 10 minutes later, he's bagged his first of what hopefully will be many. Yeah, it was a sort of low, hard... cross from Smekal, and Ali Agic steaming in for what was basically a tap-in, but still.
It's what you want to see, though. You want to have, I mean, that is a definition of impact subs, right?
Yeah.
Two, you know, Smekal and Ali Agic come on, and both of them combine for a goal. That's exactly what you want to see.
Yeah. We were talking during the game that this feels like a bit, possibly a bit of an audition for a bit of baton passing between Reznicek and Ali Agic, because Reznicek, wonderful though he is not going to go on forever. Yeah. He's about 709 now. And, you know, they seem relatively similar. Like, they look a little bit like kind of, you know, back to goal battering ram forwards, but they're both quite dainty with their touch. They've got a lovely, you know, a lovely first touch. They're both, I would say, natural goal scorers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and there's basically two decades between them at this point. Yeah. So, yeah, maybe this is what we're going to see. Maybe if we do go up, it might be Reznicek gently, you know, ushered around the back, given some sugar and shot in the head. But we'll see.
Yeah, like I think it's a really good point. And I think another good point was made a while ago by Pavel in our group chat, that really since he got his move out of Lashim, his career hasn't really taken off in the way that we thought it might do. So, you know, he's been sort of, he maybe played once or twice for Slavia, I think it was, but then he was at Slovan Liberec, didn't really impress there. Was then, I think, gone to Olympiacos B.
Yes.
Very few appearances. And this is really his chance to turn things around. So,
and as you were saying in the game, he looked like he was, and in fact, not literally, but, you know, was pretty much running through walls for the 20 minutes he was on the pitch.
He looks like he's going to fight for balls, which is really great, and not give up on things. And sometimes we have a tendency as a team to really sort of give up on stuff. So it's really good to see.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Two vague talking points from this. We did win 1-0, by the way. That is, amazingly, we haven't lost since the Tabor game on August the 5th. Incredibly, that's 5 league games, 2 cup games ago. And it sort of doesn't feel like it.
Yeah,
because you've had 3 1-0s on the bounce. You know, as you said, very, very good defending, but it hasn't been the most inspiring.
It's been... dull, yeah, is the frankly, one way to put it. It's been really grinding out things. I mean, yeah, blah, 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 hallmark of champions is, you know, not playing well and winning. But I don't think champions do that every week. That's, the crux of the matter. If we have ambitions to, you know, sort of actually do something next season, we have to start strategizing almost as early as Christmas and the winter break about how we're going to put that into a reality, because we've done this so many times, is that we have scudded a league which is relatively poor, though saying that I think there's been a couple of really good teams this year, but ultimately ones that I don't think will trouble, you know, the 2 or 3 that'll be at the top. What we do is you keep the nucleus of that team that goes up, absolutely battered, back down again, and the cycle continues. So we have to really be sort of a bit sharper than that this time.
Positive spin would be that this is a team already in massive transition.
We've had
a lot of new signings in, and what we are now is difficult to beat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not playing with great flair or imagination, but that's just because this team is not a team that's gelled yet. But we're not losing, which is also fair enough.
We somehow as well brought a lot of people in, and yet we're able to cut people loose if needed, like Marek Tomal. Because normally, in times before, like, we would have someone like that just warming the bench for, you know, 18 months and getting a wage. I think we're going a little bit more leaner and meaner this time. And
yeah, I mean, this is
you might... Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
This is Pasotka's doing, isn't it, as new sporting director from Paul Zen.
Yeah, but this is it. This is going to be, hopefully, how we're going to be running things.
Yeah.
And that's going to be very important. You will take a season and a half, maybe, of just uncertainty, as long as you're actually going to build a long-term plan that's actually going to work this time.
Yeah.
And have people you believe in running the club.
Very quickly, other quick point. Kamso Mara, Bambi on Ice.
I quite liked him the first time he was out.
He looked oddly uncomfortable with the ball at his feet.
Yeah, we talked about this, didn't we? This is flooding back now. He is one of these players that just hates having the ball, but will run and try and get it. But he will play the short pass if he can and just get rid of it as soon as possible. I don't mind that in a player sometimes, but you have to be able to back it up with really good positioning. Does he have really good positioning? Yeah, we'll wait and see.
Good. He's been
all right.
He's
been quite decent. I mean, he has started, the last three games?
Yeah.
So that does say something as well.
I mean, I don't know whether this is coincidence, but he started the last three games and we've won them all 1-0. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely some, you know, there is grit, solidity and positioning in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Which is fine by me.
Still like more shots on goal, though.
Yeah. Anyway, would you like a quick potted history of Jihlava?
Yes, please.
Good. Here we go then with a quick potted history of FC Vysočina Jihlava. They were formed in 1948 as PAL Jihlava, P-A-L.
It's an American team called NTSC Jihlava as well. Sorry, terrible format joke.
No, that's fine. I had to do a bit of digging. PAL, it turns out, were a state-owned manufacturer of car and aeroplane parts.
Okay.
Based in Jihlava, so it was a factory team. Which is... This has just come to me, because when you go into Jihlava, there are still factory signs for car part making bits. There are actual road signs for, like, Audi, Skoda, VW, things like that. So I guess that's the sort of remnants of those factories. And they only played regional football for 40 years until reaching Divizia D, which is the fourth league, in 1989.
Wow.
That was the first time they got up there. And hit the MSFL in 1991. In 95, they merged with the older SK Jihlava, formed in 1910, I think, if my memory serves me. I didn't write it down. But they formed the clumsily named FC Spartak PSJ Motopal Jihlava, which is far too many names. And in 2000, gained promotion to the Druha Liga by a combination of finishing second in the MSFL and the dissolution of NH Ostrava.
Head is spinning here.
Yeah, NH Ostrava was the football arm of a basketball club that was formed in 1952. That basketball club, I found out about them, they were formed with the remarkable name, this is incredible, of Sokol Otsel NHKG Ostrava, which translates to Sokol, which is the like local sports club
association
thing.
Yeah.
Otsel, which means steel, the manufacturing product, not the verb. And
or the liberal leader.
Yeah. And NHKG stands for Clement Gottwald's new smelter. So yeah, Sokol Sporting Club Steelers, Clement Gottwald's new smelter, Ostrava. Unbelievable.
Give me an S.
Yeah, the least popular man in the stadium. Yeah.
No, funny enough, probably the least popular man in the stadium likely would be Clement Gottwald.
Yeah. We love you, Sokol Otsel, Clement Gottwald's new smelter FC. We do. Catchy.
Boom, shakalaka.
Anyway, that promotion to the Druha Liga came with a name change to Vysočina Jihlava. And in 2005, they won promotion to the Prvni Liga, only to come straight back down again on the final day, when their opponents, the only two teams that could have come down that day in 2005 were Jihlava and Victoria Plzeň. Imagine how much their history would have been different if they had gone down and Jihlava had not survived, because it's fairly recent, 2005.
Oh, yeah.
So there we go. In 2012, they made it back up to the top table after a few years of just missing out on promotion and cemented themselves as a mid-table side playing good football under Petarara, Roman Kučera, and ironically playing some of their best stuff under our current manager, Ludek Klusáček. So, you know, he does know how to build a thing. But
Six seasons they stayed up there, I think.
Because in 2018 they were once again consigned to the Druhá Liga, where they remain to this day. But they have been the first port of call in the careers of some pretty high-profile players. Stanislav Tetzel started his professional career at Jihlava, as did former Brno forward Michal Rabušić. Matěj Vidra was a Jihlava youth boy, because he's from Chotěbor, not that far away. And
Paintstown.
And Theodore Gebrselassie was also a Jihlava.
He's from a small town beside...
He's from Trebić.
Yeah.
A small town. But yeah, they have a fairly decent record of producing fairly decent footballers. Or in Gebre Selassie's case, excellent footballers. So there we go. That's a little potted history of Vysočina Jihlava.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's a nice place and we enjoyed it. And it's an interesting thing to talk about.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
So it's quite nice that it feels a while that we've done a podcast where both of us have seen both of the games.
We are now going to head on. Before we do our second bit of the podcast, we're going to do a first preview. We've got, let's say, 2.5 previews. You'll see why in a little bit. But this coming weekend, we are playing Vyškov. So let's talk about them. Vyškov,
they're a credible team. They have lots of different players from all around the world.
What was that?
I don't know. It's been a very long day, and again, 11.4%. It's a can of wine. We look forward to our first of several South Moravian derbies this year.
Yep.
So we welcome, I use that term loosely, Vyškov to the big city. Third season. As a second-tier side, they will be looking to do one better than last season.
Yes. This is an example of a team that has really kicked on season after season in the second league, came up, acquitted themselves well, and have built quite happily year on year.
Yeah. Do you know what they haven't built?
A stadium.
So they're going to be playing again in Drnovice, which was some laugh last time.
I missed that out. I'm looking forward to the reverse fixture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, keep in mind they only avoided automatic promotion by 4 points last time out. A resulting playoff was a 4-0 aggregate defeat by Zlín, which suggests that the gap that just exists between the two tiers of Czech football is basically still in place. There's been never a positive result for one of the playoff teams in the history of the playoffs.
In the second league.
The second league.
Can I also just do a quick shout out to Zlín's clown car? Obviously losing 7-1 at home to Viktorka.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Zlín.
Yeah. Do you know who is in the rock bottom of the league, of course?
Yeah.
Do you know who's immediately above them on goal difference?
I want to say Karvina, but I don't think it is.
Of course Karvina, the team that got promoted last season that looked pretty good.
Zlín have been circling the drain for years now.
Zlín's time will come.
Yeah.
I just don't know when it'll be. Their time will come. Again, it's like we always say, it's a tough lead to get out of. So, and this is now going to be a huge game in this part of the season, because Vyškov leads Brojovka by a single point. It is first against second. It's a lot of intrigue. It's a big test for both sides. Their one loss was against Hrudim. They've scored in every game this season. I think that's worth noting. And they are way out of front in the pack on goals scored. 22 goals in, what, 9 games, I think is. Suggests that there could be goals in this as well, though we don't really score that much, as we've just been discussing. So we'll maybe need to pull up our socks a little bit. They are an interesting side. They are owned by the Rainbow Sports Group under the guise of Cameroonian-born Kingsley Pungong.
Right, okay.
So he also owns a regional team in Cameroon.
Does this explain the kind of influx of African players to them? Is it kind of a sort of European farm team for people that under his like management group, maybe, I guess?
I mean, there's no better team at scouting the market for African players, frankly. But I mean, well, they also, I don't know what their exact connections are. Like, as far as my understanding is that Kingsley Pungong is, I mean, Cameroonian born, but is
naturalized,
you know, in the Czech Republic, or has been here for many a year, right. and these sorts of things. And he does have connections, and he has connections as well to France, mm-hmm. as well. And there are a lot of, you know, going through this, the squad list is 13 players, like I said before, who are haven't. Whose nationality is an African, you know, state, be it Cameroon, Togo, Uganda, or whatever. But then there's quite a lot of dual nationals and a lot of French as well. You know, I think a good example of that is Ejeshi Misotko, who's leading the team with 7 goals. He joined from Auxerre B this summer.
Right.
So they are going into that French market. There's been people, though, that have been there for quite some time. Long-time listeners might remember us talking about the fantastically named Bienvenu Kanakimana.
Yes. He's been there a good 3 years now, maybe?
Yeah, Burundi's very own, under 20, international. And he looked really good when we came across him, when we were first in the league with them. He's gone on some very strange loans. He was on loan in China. He was on loan in the US. He's come back. He's not as many goals as before. He's got a couple, but you know, a different
He's very much a sort of fixture of that side now.
Yes, absolutely. And they've done it's not all. We can keep going with the French as well. There's Chick Soare, who I think is really interesting as well. He's a central midfielder. He was released by Marseille B, so they picked him up for nothing, basically. And he's popping up with plenty of assists. I think he's got 5 assists already, so like he's looking like a threat.
Also, looks good in blue and white, so that's a thing, yeah.
That's true. Maybe just a couple of sort of quick things as well. It's not all African and French players. Nice signing in on loan for Jan Stajskal from Slavia.
Yes.
So good business. He'll be. I think they've got until the end of the year. He's going to be quite good at this level. And they are just going to be a battering ram. Like the last couple of games, they've lined up 3-4-2-1.
Good.
Absolutely going for the jugular. And it's what's really cool as well is that actually, if you look at like Jan Kamenik, who's managing them, he's actually only been in since April. So it was Trosil before, and Trosil was there for, I think, for ages and ages, since like 2016, 2017. Mm-hmm. He got the chance to be assistant manager at Pilsen. So obviously you take
that.
But he's just come in and just kept going. Yeah. I don't know how much of that sort of, these sorts of players are up to him. I would imagine with somebody in charge, Pungong, there will be some sort of director of football sort of system in place at Vyshkov. And they have talked a good game about things like eventually building a stadium and stuff like that. So I don't know how much control he actually has on the squad itself.
It feels quite Brighton-y though, doesn't it? Where if you've got a sort of squad of unknowns to the rest of the league coming in, doing very well for no money, and when your manager leaves, there's clearly a succession plan in place. Yeah. There's a seamless transition from one manager to the other.
Yeah.
And your kind of scouting network and director of football and manager are all on the same page. There's a slight hint of breath. Again, and you know, they look good in blue and white. So
there is a lot to like about this team. There's a lot less to like if you're actually directly competing with them to go up, which I think could be the case. I'm generally a bad luck charm, I think, for this fixture as well, because I think the last three times I've seen Vyshkov play, and not just against Zbrojovka, I've seen them, in other league matches as well. They've been atrocious. So
here's hoping.
Well, so here's hoping, but it could be a really interesting game. It's going to be the biggest test, I think, since Dukla.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, we have got one other preview and a half to come, but before we do that, let's have the second beer of the podcast.
Beer of the podcast,
part two. Yes, indeedio. Here we are back with Beer of the Podcast, part two, and we're in Lithuania, Sam.
We have recently been in Lithuania.
Have what?
We have recently been in Lithuania. Keep going.
What?
Will be explained.
Right. The beer that I've brought from my fridge is from Lithuania.
And I'm pretty sure it's the same brewery that did the beer that we had, which was the raspberry porter a couple of episodes back.
Right. Is that what that was?
I believe it is. I just saw something in Lithuanian on it. Is the can got something to do with like the mail?
Yes.
Like a stamp thing on
yes,
it.
Yes.
Post brewery.
Yes,
or
I remember.
Like
yeah,
that.
You bought it from the place on Veveri.
Yes. And so, it was actually not terrible. Well, you liked it. I wasn't so convinced.
So same brewery, Wolfas Engelmann.
Yes.
Brewery, and it is a, get ready for this, mango milkshake pale ale. There's a lot of words there. I'm not sure I trust any of them.
You know the two words that I don't trust, David?
Pale ale.
Absolutely.
Right, yes. This is that. It's 5.6%, so it's a, you know, some more falling over water to add to your can of chocolatey Nesquik wine.
The black wine.
Yeah. wine. So, we... Not sure why I made that noise. Sorry. So shall we dive into this one?
I mean, it passed the first test. It smelled of mango.
It passed the first test. I didn't go blind. So, yes. Let's have a go on this.
Looks reasonably viscous.
It's a lot sweeter than you think it would be from the smell. I mean, it definitely tastes of mango.
I don't hate it.
Fair enough.
Don't hate it. I'm having very hard time identifying the hops in it, actually. I got it the first time around, but now it just seems to blend in a bit with the mango.
It tastes of nothing and fizz, and then mango.
Yeah, I'm not getting any milkshake.
No.
I mean, it's a fruit beer. I'll say what, like, my reaction to it's a lot more positive than their other one.
All the flavour from this comes from the back of your throat. There's nothing on the tongue at all.
That's true.
It tastes of nothing on your tongue. Like I said, it is nothing and fizz, and you only get an actual flavour of fruit when it gets to your...
Like you say, sweet as
back
well.
Of your throat, yeah. Yeah. Not dreadful, but I like the Fanta Shandy better.
Just soft drinks tonight, isn't it?
It really is.
Just soft drinks and the black wine.
Yeah. Soft drinks and the black wine. Episode title. Boom.
That's a Brendan Behan play.
How is the black wine, by the way?
You had a wee go of it. It's pretty good, actually. It's definitely a sipper.
Yeah. I just said it tasted like if you put too much Nesquik in your milk. That's basically what... Chocolate Nesquik, obviously, not like strawberry.
It's good. It was really expensive. It was something like 160, 170 crowns for
all,
that half-litre can.
All the cans at that shop are pricey, though. But, you know, it's a treat, isn't it?
Absolutely. And one will do for the evening for sure, yeah. especially because it's a school night. And you know, however, on you know, I will say that the stout that we had that was, I think, 60 crowns that you can get
brewed.
I probably would just prefer that.
Yeah, and also it's not 11%.
Different drinking experience, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, talking of different experiences, which will suddenly become incredibly similar, let's talk about a preview and a half featuring Opava.
I'm seeing double here. Four Opavas. yes, it's two previews in one, David. On Wednesday, 27th of September, we will be travelling to Opava for our third round cup tie.
We won't be travelling to Opava.
Oh, absolutely not. 3 days later, we will be playing exactly the same fixture. We'll be going to Opava twice.
We might be going to Opava then. Maybe.
I think I'm playing darts, but we'll see. I think it's darts and Hedonin. But enough about how I'm going to absolutely scoosh South Moravian Darts League Division 2 this season. Right. Let's go Dart Academy Zidanica. We're due a win. Real historic club, Opava. Really, you know, arguably in the shadows of Banik Ostrava next door to it.
You say arguably, you mean actually.
Actually, I'm trying to be nice to them. I've nothing against Opava. Their spells in the top flight have been, you know, interspersed with backroom issues, spells in the MSFL, most recently in 2013-14, brief top flight flourishes. They were relegated alongside us in 2021.
They were.
They had, I mean, great achievement for Opava. That season, like, it was very difficult for a team to be worse than us that season. They did it admirably, frankly. They got something like 17 points the whole season. It was real dross. And actually, last season, it looked very likely that they were going to get relegated back to MSFL. I believe it was the final day.
Yeah,
they
real late
were
rally,
able
yeah.
To save themselves. So they'll be a little bit happier being just in seventh place right now, you'd say. Three losses this season, positive goal difference, quite content at this point, probably. It should be worth saying, if you're not so familiar right now with the current state of the league table, third to eighth is really quite close. There's a handful of points in it. So they'll be looking to kick off from here, especially after beating Dukla on Friday, the same as when we played Jihlava. Fun thing about that game was that the power failed with 2 minutes to go.
It did, didn't it? I'd forgotten about that.
And
yeah.
they had to play out the last 3-4 minutes slightly later on. Quite a nice video of everyone with their camera phones on, trying to light the pitch.
Yeah.
This is going to be a tough one for them because they will be playing Vlašim this weekend. Vlašim, who we've seen twice now, and I think look really good,
very solid.
Like I'm a big fan of Vlašim, and then obviously they get to play us twice. It feels like Wednesday is going to be the dress rehearsal, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So I would be highly surprised if either team cared about the cup as much as the league, especially with so much stuff to play for as well. You know, especially let's say if something like our game against Vishkov's a draw.
Yeah.
Then you would be absolutely trying to pump everything into getting 3 points.
In the league.
Game. So in terms of like movements and things like that, and I'll try to be quick on some of the ins and outs, is that Sparta are up to their tricks again. So they've paid 205 euros reportedly. No, 205,000 euros reportedly for a 17-year-old called Wojciech Ranosz. So he played about 5-6 games for Opava last season. He's gone straight into Sparta B, of course. The aggressive pursuit by Prague clubs continues. Interesting one is Jakub Yunis.
Yunis can't miss. He was on trial with us.
He was.
The start of before the Prvni Liga season.
Yes. So he was, the season before, he was, because for he's best known for being a Sigma Olomouc player, right?
He's a big unit of a forward who doesn't score goals.
Exactly. So he was at up of a last season, he was released, and as I understand it, we had him on trial and then didn't go out. You will have, you know, there's zero chance that you will have any idea where he's gone to, but it's quite impressive. Jakob Yunus has gone to Erbil.
Who?
Erbil in the Iraqi Premier League, David. Come
My
on.
Word.
So Jakob Yunus has gone to Iraq. yeah, great. David Vanacek joins.
Oh,
you may
yes.
remember him from an ill-fated transfer to Heart of Midlothian.
I have a bit of a soft spot for David Vanacek because...
No one in Gorgi does.
Well, because some Football Manager editions ago, he was my go-to boy for, you know, for some goals.
He's been... He seems to have played at about half the league at this point. Like, he was really good at Teplice, if I recall, and then went to Hearts and then went to a couple of other random places. He was in Hungary for a bit. And then he's a free transfer from Sigma Olomouc as well. The harsher person in me would say that that's probably Vanacek's level is probably upper mid-table in the second tier. He's 32 now as well, I believe. So, yeah. What I think is really a great signing is Adam Richter.
Right.
Coming from Jablonec. 5 clean sheets already this season. That's impressive.
Nice.
So, really good. And actually, I said I'd spoil things with, you know, talking about us not conceding that many goals and being the best in the league. We are joint best in the league with Opava, so they are very tough to break down. And that's really strange because if you look at their lineups over the last 4 or 5 matches, and I'm not going to pretend that I watched in detail all the highlights of every single Opava game, but they just kept moving people around the back four. So you had like Jiří Janoščin, who's their long time, I think it's been 18 months he's been captain now. He's played in about 3 different defensive positions and defensive mid positions this season already. Matti Hellebrand, who you'll be aware of, David, he's been
aware
in and
of
out
his work,
as well.
Yeah.
And what's probably the most fun one from a Zbrojovka Brno perspective is that we are reunited with Filip Blecha.
Hey!
Slavia's let him go, so he's on a 2-year contract. The only one other thing that I would mention is that someone who could be quite good is Marzouk Yahya, who's a Nigerian centre forward.
Sorry?
Marzouk Yahya, he's 19. He got released by Slavia B, and he's turning into almost like a 1-in-2 striker.
Nice.
Not playing so much. I think he's played 7 or 8 games, but he's got 3 goals already,
yep,
so
stuff,
he could be
yeah.
quite good. He's young. He's basically not David Vanacek in that sort of way, so like he could be the bomber of them and, you know, trying to, you know, sort of run with the ball and do fun things.
Yeah, he's driving them higher and higher.
Let's have a bold prediction then. I am going to say the most Zbrojovka result would be for us to beat Opava in the cup and then lose to them in the league, so I think that's what's going to happen.
Okay, I'm failing to think of a prediction, mainly because I don't care about the cup, really.
The only thing I care about in the cup is getting a home tie.
Yes, it would be nice to have a home tie after all these years and actually get a bit of value out of the season.
We almost got one. I'm sure people who are listening to this podcast will be aware that they fucked up the draw for the cup. So we were supposed to
be
at home.
We were in the wrong pot. Yeah.
Yeah, and we were drawn at home to Victoria Pilsen,
yes,
which
please.
Couldn't be right. Well, you say yes, please, and they battered Zlín, so you're like, maybe
well,
not. But,
you know, it's a game against a team we like.
But fair play to the FA, Czech FA, because they actually redid the draw.
Yeah.
Normally, they're just like, nah, shut up. They actually did it this time. So now we are, we've got this terrible draw in that it's just very dull.
It is dull. But there we have it. Yes. Hopefully, for you, dear listener, this podcast was not very dull. We got a lot done. We talked about a lot of things.
A workmanlike performance from the podcast.
You reckon? All right, fair enough.
So.
All
right, we had all the stuff to do. We've battered through. We've seen it all. And yeah.
All right. So if you have anything to say or if you would like to get in touch with us, follow us on the socials at Zbrojovcast on Facebook and Twitter. And we will talk to you again when we talk to you. So have a lovely time of it, listener.
Ráno je zlý, venku začalo tát.
Bye.
Můj budík má pocit, že musím stát.